And in Numbers 28, 29, it deals with the several holy days or feast of Israel. I guess that would be our doctrine for potlucks. Why we have potlucks. Hey, let's start a new doctrine of that and give somebody to really complain about. Give them something worth complaining about. So, and then, okay, in there's four places in the first five books where he gets in details of these seven feasts. The details more than anything is Leviticus. And so Leviticus would be like the handbook that the Jewish priests would keep in front of them, keep them. You know, like if you go to court, you know why one of the reasons the judge is so high? Because you can't see his handbook that he's following. He's checking things off to making sure that he gets the thing. Okay, and so Exodus 12, Leviticus 23, and I'll write them up here so you can see them. Exodus 12, okay, and then Leviticus 23, Numbers 28 and 29, that's where we're at, and then Deuteronomy 16. And you've heard me say many, many times that we got to look at the Bible two ways, doctrinally, and we could say devotionally if we want to be alliterated. Okay, 2 Timothy says, verse 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Okay, so these seven feasts are doctrines for the Jews. For us, they are devotional, spiritual instructions for Christianity, for our walk in life. Okay, so that's how we approach the Bible. And that's how we keep things straight. Okay, so the Passover, remember it was the blood. They painted the town red. And for us, it's the blood of the Lamb of God. Where in Hebrews, it says the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins. They just temporarily cleared them. And that's why they had to continually do this year by year as a nation. So we are one with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then the second feast, this would be their Abib, I think they say Abib, A-B-I-B. April 14th or Abib 14, and then this is 15 to the 21st. So there's 7 days. So 15 to 21st. The 15th is a Sabbath. The 21st is a Sabbath. Unleavened bread, where Jesus said, man shall live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And so that gives us the Bible. And then unleavened is a pure Bible, because just as Satan said, I will be like the Most High. And then at 1 Corinthians it says, God is not the author of confusion, so that is the devil, and an author writes books. So he's going to counterfeit. Now, virtually any Christian, and we'll use that word loosely, will admit, openly admit, that there are counterfeit Christ. Jesus Christ. There's counterfeits of the Lord Jesus Christ. But for some reason, they don't want to admit there are counterfeit Bibles also. And then they'll say, so just as long as we agree on Jesus. Yeah, but 2 Corinthians 11 says there's another Jesus. And in Africa, like one missionary went to Africa and he went into the bush and they found out these tribal people believed in Jesus and he was thrilled. Well, then he found out there's a devil named Jesus. And so that didn't pan out so well. Okay, so this is 14th, 15 to 21st, and then Leviticus 23 is the more of the details on it. Leviticus 23, and there it says, after the Sabbath, then you count seven Sabbaths. Now, I don't know if that means the Sabbath here or the weekly Sabbath. So I'm not sure of that. And some of them Jewish calendar is kind of tough to figure out. And then this is called the Feast of Weeks. So it will be 7 weeks, the Feast of Weeks, and this is like a spring harvest celebration, because in the spring you harvest, the harvest is for barley and wheat, so you have winter crops. Here you'll see wheat. You never see barley here in this area. You have to get up Wisconsin, South Dakota, North Dakota. And in the Bible, remember, we see they had barley loaves. That's what Ruth was gleaning. Can you imagine gleaning barley? Little granular seed. Oh, I got one. You know, I mean, and so God honored her for that. So barley bread is a very, very healthy bread. Barley green, if you want to try the health food world. We did barley green for years. In fact, that's how we potty trained Lindsay. You can have barley green. And so she did good, and then we'd shovel it in, and she had green all over her mouth. She didn't know any better. Now she won't touch it. Okay, then we moved up to superfood, which is a lot better. Okay, and so there's some ranchers that their horse was going pretty raunchy, and they started feeding it barley hay. And the improvement, they said, was amazing. Barley hay. We met one farmers up in Ontario, or up in Canada, and they put barley, they grew barley in their basement. They sprouted it, get about this big, and then they'd feed the sprout barley to their horses. And they said, man, they do great on that. So this was a springtime harvest. Okay, and then for us, this is called the first fruits also. And this is where, when you do with devotional stuff, you know, I don't think you can pin it down. What can you say? Feast of Weeks, first fruits, harvest. Often the pattern is that when we first do something for the Lord, or say right after we get saved, the Lord gives us some extra grace, and we get victories over things that we never dreamed of. And then after we get those first ones, then we get into the reality of the Christian life. So this we'll call this the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit. And again, for us in the New Testament, your guess is as good as mine on that. And sometimes I hear preachers say, well, this here means this. And I'm like, how do you know that? I remember years ago, there were some preachers wanting to get together and discuss marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And I thought, okay, I'll go to them. Okay, okay. And then one guy gets up and he says, well, the ceremony that God performed for Adam and Eve. And when he got done, I said, where do you find that? He said, well, it's in there. Well, I said, well, you're going to have to write it in there, but I've never read that. You know, and he kind of got upset because I asked him a question. It's like, it doesn't say that. You had to throw that in there. But even at that, each his own. Okay, so you got 7 weeks, so this is 49. And then Pentecost. Okay, you can see Pentecost, like Pentagon, the Pentagon, okay, is 50 days. Now, they also had a 50-year thing called a Jubilee. Okay, so on that, the Jubilee, they had, that would be like our foundational rules for bankruptcy. Okay, what they had for Jubilee. So they counted every 7 years, rest the land 7 years, and then they did that on the seventh and the seventh year. On the seventh set, on the 49th year, they let it rest, and then they let it rest again for 50th. And, okay, how do you explain getting three times a crop in year 48 to make you through 49 and 50? Extra fertilizer? Or was that just God? Okay, and so That kind of prevents the super wealthy of buying a country, is what the Jubilee it was intended to do. But we don't do the Jubilee anymore. I wouldn't be surprised God keeps track of it. Okay, now Pentecost. The only time you find that, the word, is in Acts 2 and three times in the book of Acts. Okay, Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Now this, okay, if you would go to Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. There's quite a bit we could say about Pentecost. Okay, and Acts chapter 2, where do I have you go? Deuteronomy 16, 16. Okay, there in Deuteronomy 16, 16, it mentions that there are three times in a year the Jewish men were to take a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Okay, so the Muslim faith copies a lot of things out of the Jewish faith, these pilgrimage. And if you're in Israel and you see a Muslim, he's got a beanie in his head, then he went to Mecca. So I don't know if he flew there. Maybe they get him a little copter on his beanie. I'm not sure. And when they do that, and if they kill a bunch of infidels, because when we drove in the rode in the bus from the northern part of the Red Sea down to the Red Sea crossing, we're following this road meandering between the Red Sea and the mountains. And this guy was a crazy driver. I mean, he was cutting corners. He was passing. And when I saw that, I walked in front of the bus and I sat beside Ron White. I said, what's the deal with this dude? He said, well, he's got a hat on. I said, what's that got to do with anything? He said, if he kills these infidels, he gets a quick trip right to Utopia. And I said, what are you doing about it? He said, I'm praying. I said, I think I'll start that too. So that was his attitude. Okay, and so with this, with Pentecost in Deuteronomy 16, it says, verse 6, three times in a year shall all males appear before the Lord in the place which he shall choose. That place is chosen back in chapter 7 to be Jerusalem. In the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, on occasion, often the Jewish people put these two together, Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So that's what he's referring to. That'd be like us and our Christmas holiday. So you have Christmas, New Year's Day, people put that all together. Okay, and then it says, and then in the Feast of Weeks. Okay, so that will be this one and Pentecost put together. And in a Feast of Tabernacles. So that's the seventh one, that's in the fall. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. So they were to take pilgrimage. Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ kept all of these. This is the one he was crucified on. This is the one he was resurrected on. Then he spent 40 days with the apostles. So somewhere around here in this one is when he ascended. And then he told the apostles, stay in Jerusalem for a while till you're endued with power from on high. That's Acts 2, and that's when that happened, in Acts 2. So that is, for us, that's when a person gets the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, today, that takes place at the moment you get saved. Okay, today, where the born-again believer gets all of the Holy Ghost. Now, when he gets all of you, which he never does, that's the filling of the Holy Ghost. Okay, and that's what we continue to pray for, that the Lord speaks through us and everything. This is a one-time event as far as the church. This is when the church became a living organism, where in Matthew 10, they became called out as an organization. Okay, but then we become one in Christ, and this is a mystery of the New Testament that, man, you try to explain that to somebody. Somehow, mysteriously, all born-again people are in the body of Christ. And then you got the local church and all that stuff. Baptist Briders, they don't want to accept that idea at all. They say, oh, the Catholic Church teaches that, so we don't want to accept that. Well, hey, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn once in a while. And so the universal church would be like our soul, you can't see. And a physical church would be like our body, which you can see. So, you know, I can get the Baptist writers upset because I believe the universal. Then I can get the Catholics upset because I believe the local church. Who cares either way? Okay, so Pentecost. This is when the Holy Ghost took the all the believers at that time, placed them in Christ, and everyone since those days are placed in Christ at a moment of belief. Now, there's a denomination that calls himself this. Okay, Pentecostals. Do they know it's a Jewish feast day? Acts 2 is the craziest chapter. I mean, there's so many goofy ideas come out of Acts chapter 2. And there's a smorgasbord of believers believing our different beliefs in Acts 2. The Catholics believe you got to get baptized in their church in order to be saved. The Campbellites believe that. That's usually what are called Church of Christ. I debated one of these guys years ago, Church of Christ. Okay, then the Jehovah's Witnesses believe this, and then the Mormons believe this. But yet none of them accept the H2O of each other. And then none of them, all of them believe that you don't have eternal security, but in order to get it back, all of them don't believe you don't have to get baptized again. Even though you got the Holy Ghost in baptism the first time, you lose them and you don't have to do it again the second time. I mean, it's just crazy. It's just absolutely crazy. And there's a fella years ago that I led him to the Lord. And then I've watched this for years where there's a new convert. There's going to be four or five wolves from different denominations that will try to talk them out of their salvation within a month, maybe 2 months, but usually within a month, those wolves can sniff them out. It'll be the Seventh-day Adventist, Catholic, okay, the Mormon, JW, and the Campbellites. We call them Campbellites, or we sometimes call them water dogs. And three water dogs was pestering this one fella that I'd led to the Lord. And I said, if you want to know, figure it out, here's what you do. Bring Curly Moe and Larry in and set them on one side of the table. Put me on the other side. You are judge and jury. You ask them the questions. You ask me the questions. Whatever time limit you give them, say 5 minutes, then I get 5 minutes. And then make sure you include in your rules is whoever interrupts loses. Okay? That's very important because then it will be just an argument. And so when he put that off and put that off, and finally he said, I'm ready. I said, okay. So there we are down there. And my dad was a spectator. My dad just wanted to get in on the action just to watch. He thought it was kind of funny. And so these three guys really thought it was great rules what we set up until about 15 minutes in. And then they got complaining. And I could just sit there and be quiet, listen to them, take little notes, and they were just facial express. My dad was watching her face, trying not to say something. And I'd say, don't you say anything. And so finally, one of these guys, if you would look in Acts 2, verse 44. Acts 2:38, that's the springboard that they all jump into some water. I even changed the one song we have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. I changed all the lyrics on that song. We have heard the gurgling sound, water saves, water saves. Splash the tidings all around, water saves, water saves. And I sent that to a few Campbellite churches. I said, here's a special for you. And so in Acts 2:38, I asked this one guy who was the pastor. I said, does your church obey Acts 2:38? And he said, yeah. I said, do you obey all of Acts 2? He said, yeah. I said, really? And I had him read 44. I said, do you obey that? We have all things in common. Boy, wouldn't we be a popular church and everybody brought in your paycheck, all your, you know, retirement programs, you know, and then we, anybody want to vote for this? The ones that vote for it would be the ones that could use it. And this guy piously said, oh, yeah, that would be a good thing to do. Yes, that would be good. I said, everybody in your church bring in their paycheck and then you divvy it out equally to everybody in church? Oh, that would be a good thing. Yeah. I said, yeah, you're going to start that next week? They don't believe that. They don't believe that. They don't believe Acts 2:38. Why would you call yourself a Pentecost? Why don't you call yourself Feast of Weekers? Invite people to come to the Unleavened Bread Church. I mean, this is a failure of rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, and it's real easy to deal with these people, and the Bible speaks against these people. Okay, so these are four in the spring. Now, I hold to the idea that the pre-tribulation rapture of the church would occur most likely on this day. Okay, you say you don't know day or hour. I don't. Okay, but that's what I would hang on to right here at Pentecost. Usually this time of year, I kind of drop it. But come July, I'm going to be very depressed. Okay, but this will usually be in June time. Now, Brother Mike Caesar, he has been saying for a long time, Pentecost 2024. And I was just out there. He said, we're going to be at church on Wednesday night, 2024, Pentecost. And I'm like, Israel's 8 hours ahead of us. You're not going to be at church at that time. But come next spring, I'm hoping he's right. Okay, and Brother Mike, he's been talking about this for quite a while. And so Pentecost, the reason why, if you would go to Song of Solomon, the logic behind that, the scriptural logic, is that it makes sense that if the church was born at one point in time, would he take the church out at that same point in time? Okay, just the idea. Song of Solomon, wow, I haven't gone through Song of Solomon, but here he hit it twice in one day. Song of Solomon 2, verse 8. When you read through Song of Solomon, doctrinally, it's about Christ and the church. Verse 8, the voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh. My beloved, the voice of the church, the voice of the church, my beloved, Jesus Christ, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountain, skipping on the hills. So he comes in the air, right? My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. This is where Santa Claus gets the idea of the reindeer going from place to place. It's a counterfeit. Behold, he standeth behind the wall. He looketh at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. So we hear him say, come away, come up hither. What's he looking through? Through the curtain of heaven, the northern lights. He pulls back the curtain. Okay, come on up. Okay, and then it says, and lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. So we say April showers bring May flowers. And then the flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds is come, and the voice of the turtle or turtle dove is heard in our land. So that's probably where I'd hang my hat, but who's going to argue about it? Don't matter to me on that one. Okay, in the fall, we have the Feast of Trumpets. Okay, the Feast of Trumpets basically reminds us for the New Testament believer that we're in a fight. Why? Because in Numbers 10, they blew the trumpet the first time to gather the troops in, and they blew the trumpet the second time to fight. So the Christian life is a Christian, a life of warfare, and those trumpets are reminding us that we are in a battle. And you know what? Soldiers, do we know this, that soldiers fight amongst themselves? Don't they? The Navy guys, you know, they don't like the Army guys, you know. And the Navy guy, you know, maybe the Navy guys will say, well, our Marine is in the Navy. And then a Marine will say, yeah, but he's in the men's section. Because I had a Marine friend out there, and he'd always say that. As soldiers always fight. Now, isn't it any wonder that Christians fight? People are shocked with that. Come on, that's just reality. Okay, and Paul and Barnabas had a fight, didn't they? Paul and Barnabas did. That argument about John the Baptist. And so that just tells us we're in a warfare, and that's the first thing Paul wanted to tell the Corinthians. Hey, I want to teach you Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's it. We got to fight with the world. We got to fight with our flesh. We got to fight with the devil. And we got to fight with the brethren sometimes. That's just part of it. No big deal. Okay, have you ever known a family that the kids would fight like cats and dogs until one of them, somebody picked on the kid? And man, then they got together. I don't know how many times I heard my dad tell the story about the Swishers growing up. There was a poor, dirt poor, they squatted in the woods. And we got dad tape recorded telling these stories. I probably heard them things dozens of times, just laugh and laugh. And my grandfather had a soft place in his heart for those Swishers, those poor folks. I mean, they had chickens in the house. They had to shoo the chickens off the kitchen table. And they squatted in this one farmer's woods, and he got so mad about that, lived there for years. And so he told my grandfather's Martin Hoffman, no middle thing, and my dad is Martin J, and it don't stand for, it's just a letter. That's just the distinguish between the two. And so this neighbor farmer said to Uncle Grandpa Hoffman, I am so tired of them people in them woods on my property. And so I'm kicking them out. So what my grandfather did, he owned the property right across from this farmer's house. And so he just had a garage right there, and they got clearing away some of the woods. And he goes, Mark, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm clearing away this section over here. He said, what for? He said, well, the Swishers got to have a place to live right across from this farmer. A lot of wisdom there. And the farmer said, I think we'll just leave them in the woods. But my dad would talk about those days. I mean, and mom started dating freshmen. Dad's 14, driving in them sand roads down in DeMott. He's 14 years old, and he had to pick up mom someplace, and a cop saw him driving, 14 years old, 5 foot, 2 inches tall. And Grandpa told him, if a cop chases you, go to Uncle Jake's, climb the silo, and then throw corn down on him. So that's what my dad was doing. He was heading there, driving as fast as he could go, and then he thought, he's going to shoot me, so he stopped. So the cop says, how long have you been driving? He said, 6 years. And he followed him to the farm, and they were sitting at supper, and Uncle Paul's there, and Grandpa's there. And Grandpa said, Paul, go see what the cop wants. And he told him, he said, man, what are you doing picking on a little kid for? And I think Grandpa got a $15 ticket. And I think Dad got a $5 ticket. And then a few minutes later, Dad said to Grandpa, I got to pick up Edna at the roller rink. What am I going to do? He said, use the Buick. They can't catch you in that one. I mean, those were the days. Those were the days. Grandpa, he just tells story like that after stories. And it's just a funny thing. Okay, so the Feast of Trumpets is the warfare that we're in. This is the seventh month, first day of the month. Okay, seventh month, first. Now that's our September. The Sep is the seven, October, Octagon. That's an eight. So our calendar hints at the Jewish calendar. November is an over nine, and the December. Okay, then they had the atonement. As a nation, once a year, the high priest took the blood of a lamb into the Jewish temple. They tied a rope around his foot, one leg. They put some bells on his lower part of his skirt, of his outfit. And they would just listen. Because if he wasn't cleansed inside that tabernacle, he would drop dead. And then they could just pull him out with the rope. And so can you imagine the job occupation? I bet you his wife said, is your life insurance policy paid up? Okay, but they had to do that once a year. We only got to do it once a life. I mean, that atonement, that's a wonderful thing. That's the atonement where we're one with God. And that's kind of a repeat of this, but probably more of sanctification for us. So, and that would be the 10th day of the 7th month, okay? Now, for Israel, This would be getting ready for battle. This would be getting God's approval for the battle. And then the last one is the tabernacle, the Feast of the Tabernacle. The Feast of the Tabernacle is like our Thanksgiving. The holidays we have in America, Thanksgiving would be the most spiritual one. And it's a gratitude for God for the harvest. But for us, that would be the second coming of Christ. The Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, that's the time of year. I have believed this for a long time. Now, what makes this still work with this person says, yeah, but you got 7 years in there. In the 7 years, you can't get that to match. Well, it's a funny thing. In Daniel, it's got three sets of numbers. You got 1260, so that's clearly half of the trib. You got another 1290 in there, and that'll be a cleansing after the Battle of Armageddon. And then there's a 1335. So you got 30 there and 35, so you got 65 there, or 75. And that's Ezekiel mentions where after the Battle of Armageddon, there's going to be so much blood and guts around. They're going to take about 7 months in there. Where if anybody sees a body part, you know, a hand or toe, they put a flag there, and then the priest got to go clean it up. So that's going to be a really mopped up clean. There's another number in there, 2300, very unique idea. If you take 360 days in a year, prophetic year, times seven, that comes out to be 2520 days. So if you subtract that, you have 220 days, I believe, are already done of the 70th week. And the reason why I believe that is because on Palm Sunday, completed 69 weeks, and on Monday, I think, started the 70th week. Because the Lord was offering Israel a second chance. Now, where the church would have fit, I have not a clue. I'm not worried about it. Somewhere in the book of Acts, it appears to me that God picked up this sand clock and set it on the side. You know, that you ever play those games with them little sand clocks? That's what we fathers do when we need more time. We just pick it up and put it on the side. And so then I think that there's more than 6 years, and so this would still allow for that to come in play. So again, this is all, you know, just trying to figure out how this thing's laid out. But if you would try Zechariah, the last chapter, the last four or five verses, this tabernacle, remember when Jesus was on the top of the Mount of Transfiguration and then Pete said, hey, I need to build you a tabernacle for Moses? That's what he's talking about. That's what he was talking about. That's the time of year that happened. So the second coming of Christ, and the first. If you would like a birthday for Jesus, if you would like to know his birthday, this would be your best shot right there. Seventh month, 15th day of the month, that would be our best shot. Okay, and there's several reasons for that. Zechariah 14:16. It says, it has come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem... Okay, so that's after Armageddon. So even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. That's this one. And then it says, it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. So he just turns off the faucet. And if the family of Egypt go not up, came not, that had no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So in the millennial time period, it's going to be absolute judgment. Boom, boom, boom. If you don't do this, boom, boom, boom. And I would think, man, if you can't beat them, join them. But the pride of man. 19, this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to Feast of the Tabernacles. So after a couple years of... you know, not getting some rain, they're going to be showing up. with their tail be linked between their legs. In that day, so that's a millennium, shall there be on the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. Not Budweiser, king of beers. I mean, the devil is not, doesn't have an original thought. He's got to get that from this Bible. And so those Clydesdales, now in the millennial time period, they're going to be big, 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 big. And so that's going to be fascinating. Holiness unto the Lord. That's his number one attribute. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. And so forth and so on. And my thinking is the reason why the Lord's going to have him do this is because at least you're going to get it right, finally. My son wasn't born in Saturnia to worship the sun god. He was born right here in Tabernacles. That's the place. That's the best shot. You put all those things together. But for us, that would be the second coming. And for Israel, that's the second coming. That's the time of the year. Just like the first coming, that's when he was born, the first coming. You take the 3.5 years, so you got September, come around into Pentecost, so you got that half, 3.5 year ministry, works out perfectly. And so these are the Jewish feasts. For the Jews, these are doctrine. For you and I, these are patterns of growth in grace. Okay, this is how we grow in grace. And when a person loves the second coming, the Lord has a crown of righteousness. And so, okay, so we'll stop there and let's go and pray. Lord, I do pray and ask that you'd help us to appreciate these Jewish feasts and to understand that this is for growth in Christ. I just pray you'd, Lord, we'd love to see this program get going. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to be faithful. Until then, in Jesus' name, amen.